To the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and my sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is your image of the Lord Jesus Christ? True that our Lord was and is humble and submissive. And true, our Lord Jesus was and is gentle as well. The meek, the humble, the gentle Jesus. This is an image so many people know and perpetuate. But how far do we take this image of Jesus, gentle, meek, and lowly? Do these imply that Jesus was weak? Well, perhaps if we're considering that many of his attributes were displayed while he had humbled himself, or as St. Paul says in Philippians 2, when he emptied himself. But that state of humiliation, that humility for the sake of our salvation, in no way counters the fact that he is our Almighty God. His divinity, as the one true God taught in John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, and Revelation 1, this is a great mnemonic device for learning about Christ's divinity, by the way, taught in the New Testament. How often I've heard people say that nowhere in the New Testament does it actually say that Jesus is God. Evidently, some have not read the New Testament. Remember the mnemonic device, John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, and Revelation 1. Furthermore, Romans 9, 5. Christ, who is God over all, unquote. Thus, as Christians, we do not confuse his self-imposed humility with weakness or a lack of power. Well, okay. But maybe Christ's meekness and gentleness imply that he was never angry. But that doesn't follow either. Let me pause here about Christ and give you an illustration as to why one attribute does not necessarily cancel out the other. Growing up, I was very close to a certain former U.S. Marine. And now I'm speaking of my dad, who is in heaven now. My dad, what he epitomized, what the 18th century American general and statesman Christopher Gadsden did in creating a certain flag. It was a yellow flag with a rattlesnake coiled and poised to strike with the words on the bottom, "Don't tread on me." And this flag was also used by the United States Marine Corps as an early motto flag. Well, this motto was my dad. Don't tread on me. Reminds me that my dad was tough and no one wanted to make him upset. That's how a lot of people knew him anyway. But as his baby boy, I knew this tough, strong ex-Marine in a very different way. He was my loving daddy who would let me jump all over him and climb all over him like a great big jungle gym. A lot of people didn't know it at the time, but my dad was also very gentle, very kind, and very generous. That was my dad. Well, Jesus our Lord was most definitely meek and gentle. But there was this one occasion recorded in John chapter 2 when Jesus went into Jerusalem and he saw those who were selling oxen, sheep, and pigeons in the temple courts. And the money changers were there. When our Lord saw this, he made a whip of cords and he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he wasn't finished. He poured out the coins of the money changers. He overturned the tables. And he said, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." He was consumed with zeal, as the scriptures say, for his Father's house. Luther wrote, "Zeal, quote, zeal is an angry love or a jealous love. His anger does not arise from hatred. It springs from love towards God." Angry love. Picture a loving mother who realizes that someone is attacking her child, and you will see the definition of angry love. It is good. It is holy. Yes, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, Matthew 5:44. Yes, remember that God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord, Romans 12. And yes, remember Ephesians 4, "Do not let the sun go down in your anger." But we should recoil when we see injustice. The Christian should be terribly upset when babies are aborted, when the innocent are murdered, when marriages are threatened by divorce, when children are mistreated. And if these things do not make you angry, then beware, because then your so-called faith may already be dead. Well, let me tell you about another one of Christ's reactions from our gospel this morning in John 11. Jesus came into Bethany because he had heard that his friend Lazarus was sick. Having proclaimed that he was the resurrection and the life to Martha, Mary came and fell at his feet, and all of a sudden, our Lord became focused on what his people were going through. They were in pain. Death had invaded them, and they were brokenhearted. They were sobbing. They were in distress. Jesus witnessed the work of the enemy, for the wages of sin is death. How did he react? Did he sweep it under the rug? Did he suppress it or ignore it? Did he suddenly tell his people to become positive thinkers? Did he rationalize death and try to pretty it up and say something misguided, as death is a part of life? No. Instead, the scriptures say, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Once again, Jesus knew a holy anger and irritation, or simply indignation. When anger is provoked, when you realize that those you love have been hurt. Death had taken his friend, and the people he loved were mourning. Again, he saw the work of the enemy, and he was so moved by the suffering of his people that he himself wept. This is what Lent is about. There is no renewal of spirit if we do not realize the great threat of sin and death, and that we're saved from these threats through him whose life, death, and resurrection is our renewal. So during Lent, we follow the passion of Christ, like his reaction to those who were mourning, so that we would see in the Holy Scriptures that when Jesus saw us threatened by death, He said, no more. From now on, my life will be for their life. My tears will be for their tears. My death will be for their death. And my resurrection will be for their resurrection. And this is precisely why Jesus came. He did not simply sympathize or empathize as a good counselor can do. He did something about death. You know what John 11 is about. The main story is that it is a preview of the great resurrection that is to come. As you hold to Jesus, you will not die, but you will live. He is the resurrection and he is the life. And even now, through faith in Christ, you've crossed over from death to life, John chapter 5. But the impetus behind this fantastic miracle, when Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man rose from his grave, that miracle was driven by our Lord's impulse to know your fear, to carry your burden, to share your tears, to face your death, to conquer your enemy. Jesus possessed an angry love that would not permit sin, death, and the devil to destroy you. Whatever threatens your hope, thank God that in the greatest love, Jesus' anger moved him to save you. He said, in effect, don't tread on my child. Don't you dare. I've come to save him. I've come to save her. They're mine. And not even death has the power to take them out of my hands. And now, as the people of God at Mount Olive Lutheran Church, Pasadena, with a new pastor and my dear brother and friend, Reverend Mark Jasa, and as my people at St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Irvine, with myself and assistant pastor, Reverend Dr. Stephen Mueller, as we enter this month into our fourth year as a restart in Irvine, and as you start a new chapter in your life as a congregation in Pasadena, we have work to do. There are so many people who have given up hope and are going through life just waiting for disaster. But the Lord says in Romans 12, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful, but in zeal, be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Let us be deeply moved. Let us be greatly troubled. Enough so that we share Jesus and the power of his death and his resurrection as a forgiven people of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand and continue with the offertory on page 192.